Dear friends, dear supporters in all of North America, dear friends all over the globe, I'm very deeply touched by your support, by your eagerness to help, and by your caring and by your thoughts. I'm doing well, I'm still doing well. No doubt my body is feeling that I haven't had food for the last 25 days.
We're talking about Michael Schmidt, the Owenstown farmer who is on a hunger strike. I got an email from a dairy farmer, John Van Dyke. He had a fascinating story, so I've called John, and I'm inviting him now onto the program. John, thanks for joining us.
Andy.
You're a dairy farmer?
You bet.
Traditional dairy farmer?
Yeah, have been my whole life.
All the milk that you produce is pasteurized?
That's right.
Okay, your thoughts on what Michael Schmidt is doing?
Well, I mean, it would be hypocritical for me not to support Michael Schmidt. I mean, we drink raw milk. I have the right to choose which kind of milk I want to drink every day, and we choose to drink raw milk. Now, for a while there, we bought the processed milk because of fear out there. But since our son has had autism, we've come into a whole community of people who are wanting raw milk. I just met a lady last weekend who cannot drink processed milk, but when she drinks raw milk, she feels great. So for people to say that there isn't a difference between the two is absolutely wrong. And, we enjoy, like I say, raw milk every day. And other people, if they want it, they should have the right to choose it. And our dairy organization, I have sent letters in to them before. We could test all the milk for anything that they are fearful of, and it could be provided safe to consumers. So it is unjust if McGinty is unwilling to look at this.
You mentioned that your son, and you used the word, had autism. Can you explain?
Our son is still recovering from autism. He's not recovered yet. But, one thing is for sure. If you have autism, you got to change your diet, and you have to stop drinking milk. That is guaranteed. And you may also want to avoid gluten. But, autism can become so much worse if you're not eating the right foods. Autism can become better and more manageable if you eat the right foods. It's very complicated. We even know some families that have recovered their children from autism. But, food is so important. No matter what illness you have to look at the food you are eating. And in some cases, if you are having too much milk, you may want to take that out of your diet. Everybody has allergies to certain types of foods. And
John, what are you saying about the role of pasteurized or raw milk in this whole issue of health generally and autism in particular?
Well, most people can handle pasteurized milk, but there's a certain percentage of our population who can't. It's that simple. And we know for a fact that if you have autism or any learning disabilities, two of the main culprits could be either gluten or casein, so you want to get those out of your diet, which means avoiding pasteurized milk. But in many cases, they will go on to say that raw milk is actually good for these kids. Now, we haven't introduced our son yet to raw milk yet, because he's only 4 and a half. He has, a ways to go yet. But it's so interesting to talk to adults who have autism, and they straight out tell me that they can't handle processed milk, but can handle raw milk. So, if certain people need this type of food, we should be supplying it. And we as an organization can do that safely if the willingness was there.
John, October is Autism Awareness Month. You belong to Autism Canada. Your director is Lori Mollum, who lives in Bothwell, and she happens to be a pediatrician. What are her thoughts on all of this?
Well, Wendy Edwards is a pediatrician, and her son as well had a son with autism. And her son has recovered. But that's one of the first things that any pediatrician who knows about autism should be stating, is that you must change your diet. You must eliminate all dairy and all wheat. That is the basic principle when your child first is diagnosed with autism, to change the diet. And so there's been even studies about that. And so,
Pam, let me just ask you to jump in and comment on what you just heard.
Oh, well, John's absolutely right. Kids with autism tend to have very, very weak digestion, and so they have a very difficult time digesting the proteins in both dairy products and in things like wheat, the gluten, the protein itself. So, in other words, yes, it's a very, very good idea to pull out dairy and wheat from children who do have autism. And you must rebuild the digestion at the same time. So as you're rebuilding the digestion, you must do a lot of things like introducing friendly bacteria, things like that, bone broths, all of these very, very nutrient-dense traditional foods, which have been used medicinally for millennia in many cases, of course. We must do these things in order to help rebuild the digestion.
I have just a couple moments left, and I want to cover two or three key issues. John, your thoughts today about Michael Schmidt?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, he needs to have a talk with McGinty on what's the future. I mean, we can supply raw milk to consumers if the government will allow it to happen, and it can be provided safely. And that's the thing. Right now, we've got an underground market where things aren't tested, and we need to get rid of the underground market and put it into a market either provided by current dairy farmers or a whole new set of dairy farmers who must go through the regulation of providing safe raw milk. I mean,
how many of your fellow dairy farmers agree with you?
I have no idea, but I do know that most dairy farmers drink raw milk.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, whether or not they agree with me, at the end of the day, are you going to be a hypocrite or are you going to support something that needs to be done?
Absolutely. Fascinating. Pam, I have to ask you about one other big issue, which is in the news today, and I'm sorry to spring this on you. We haven't had a chance to talk about it off the air. Saturation media coverage on the relationship, according to a study out of Harvard, which I want to feature in the next half hour, relationship between soda pop and violence in teenagers.
Oh, well, you know, the rate of violence has been going up since the 1950s, Andy. This is not news. Ever since we've been eating more and more highly processed foods, which are very disrupting to our nervous system, you know, we've been watching this catapulting rate of violence in society in general. So where young children are concerned, of course, they're the third and fourth generation of children on these very, very damaging foods. And so, unfortunately, you know, their nervous systems are severely, severely compromised, and it's just no wonder that they're, showing more aggression and violence and so on.
Well, I saw an interview with a Harvard professor this morning, the one who did the study, and he's saying, yes, they were shocked at the direct link between, and they were actually doing the study on obesity, but they were just asking kids questions about their diets, and there was a direct and dramatic link between soda pops generally and violence in teenagers. I wish I had more time. John Van Dyke, we're going to have to talk to more because this is a fascinating perspective that you have on this issue of Michael Schmidt. And Pam Killeen, again, if you could just summarize, what's the story of Michael Schmidt? What's happening this afternoon?
Well, what we're going to be watching for this afternoon is the rally that's at Queen's Park at 1 o'clock, and we'd like to see McGinty have some sort of conversation with Michael today so that we can move this situation forward and end Michael's hunger strike. There's other things happening, Mike, that I know about that I don't know if I really want to announce right now, but later this afternoon I will have my hands on that news, and hopefully maybe we can cover it tomorrow, Andy. I'm not sure.
Terrific. Okay, we'll be in touch. Pam Killeen, thank you so much, and John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
Very interesting perspective from both John and Pam.